Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
President Trump's national approval rating improved slightly in the last few weeks, but still remains lower than any recent president at this point in his administration. Joining us now to talk about how North Carolinians feel about Trump, Governor Roy Cooper, and other state leaders is Tom Jensen with Public Policy Polling. Well, Tom, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Well, let's talk about what's on the minds of North Carolina voters. I guess the thing everybody always checks in these days is what they think of our leaders. So let's start at the top. President Trump has gotten a tiny bump nationally in the last week or two. How's he doing in North Carolina?
He's doing a little better in North Carolina as well. He's still not popular. 47% of voters approve of him, 49% disapprove. But there had been some polls earlier in the year when his approval in North Carolina was in the low 40s or even in some cases in the 30s. So he's seen a little bit of a bump, but he's still doing worse than he did on Election Day last fall. And I really just think hurricanes are good for politicians' approval ratings. Hurricane almost got Pat McCrory reelected last year, and now on the national level, it's given Donald Trump this a bit of a bounce in his approval numbers, and there's a pretty good chance it'll wear off.
Maybe this is not unusual, but when I was looking at the numbers, only 4% were not sure. Is that normal for a presidential candidate? It's obviously that's very low for state officials.
I think that the last few presidents we've had have been polarizing to an extent where really almost everybody did have an opinion one way or the other. So I'd say that for Trump and Obama, it is pretty normal for almost everybody to have an opinion one way or the other about them. But that is, I think, a newer sort of development going back further. He might have had a few more people with sort of lukewarm feelings towards the first George Bushes and Bill Clintons of the world, but the Obamas and Trumps of the world, you pretty much love them or hate them.
Let's talk about Roy Cooper. How's he doing?
He's holding up very well. He's in a contrast situation to Trump where he's really picked up support since the election. 51% of voters approve the job he's doing, 35% disapprove. So when you think about his election basically being a tie, to have a plus 16 approval rating now means he's really winning over some people who didn't vote for him. And one thing that's particularly notable in his numbers is that about a quarter of Republican voters approve of the job he's doing. And that may not sound like much, but in this political climate where Democrats and Republicans hate each other so much, for Cooper as a Democratic governor to have a quarter of Republicans who like the job he's doing is actually pretty good. And Cooper's numbers especially look impressive when you look at them in context compared to where Pat McCrory and where Bev Perdue were in September of their first year in offices. They had both become very unpopular by this time in their term. Perdue was at about a minus 25 approval rating. McCrory was at about a minus 15 approval rating. So certainly when you look at our last three governors, Cooper's had by far and away the most successful first year in office.
I guess a lot of Cooper's time has unfortunately been battling to keep the power that his office has with the General Assembly. How's the General Assembly doing?
They're very unpopular, about a 20% approval rating, 50 to 60% of voters disapprove of them in our polling. So definitely in these sort of power struggles between Cooper and the legislature, voters are going to be a lot more inclined to side with Cooper. And we also have Democrats with one of the largest generic legislative ballot leads that they've had in a while in our polling. It's sort of been in the 5 to 7 point range for Democrats this year in terms of their advantage. Usually we find that pretty close to 50-50 in the state. But the reality is that with the lines drawn the way they are, Democrats would have to win the statewide legislative vote by something like 12 to 14 points to actually have a chance at getting control of the legislature. So I do think that if Democrats can sustain this 5 to 7 point advantage, they're going to pick up enough seats next year that they can probably get rid of the veto-proof majority, at least in the House and maybe in the Senate as well. But they're not going to come anywhere close to actually sniffing an outright majority.
Off-year elections traditionally do favor down the ballot the party not in the White House. How much of do you think Trump's unpopularity will exacerbate that? Obviously, you can't tell a long way away, but if we were voting soon, would this be sort of a bigger than usual off-year gain?
Well, it's been fascinating. There have been 24 special elections across the country this year for various offices, congressional seats, state Senate seats, state legislative seats, that kind of thing. on average, the Democratic candidate is doing 12 points better than Hillary Clinton did in those same districts last fall. So we're already seeing that dynamic manifest itself in a really major way. Out of the 24 sort of special elections that there have been this year, Democrats have been able to flip 6 Republican-held seats. So that's pretty remarkable, really, with how few competitive districts there are for Democrats to be able to flip 25% of the seats that have had elections this year. And several of them have been in a state like New Hampshire, which voted for Hillary, but several of them have been in a state like Oklahoma that was overwhelmingly for Trump. So I think it is shaping up to be a year that, even more so than usual, I think it's going to be very strong for Democrats. I think in terms of the overall political climate, the best comparison really is 1994. I think that 2018 for Democrats is shaping up to be a year that voters move as strongly towards the Democrats as they moved towards the Republicans in 94. The difference is just that the political landscape is different than it was 24 years ago. There's very few competitive congressional and legislative seats in various places across the country. And then it also just sets up badly for Democrats next year with the U.S. Senate map. There's only a few places where they can conceivably play offense. They're having to defend seats everywhere else. So the gains for Democrats won't be as large as they were in that first Clinton midterm. But the sort of overall climate, I think, is similar to that. And it's really a reflection of how sort of the political landscape's changed, that you can have a year where Democrats are favored by 10 points and they still don't necessarily take control of that much stuff because the boundary lines are so unfair.
Well, let's talk about the big issue. The latest effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, is likely to be on the Senate floor next week if they think they have the votes. Is this as unpopular, do you think, as the previous efforts seem to be?
It is. We've done some national polling. Only about 25% of voters support the newest bill, about 50% oppose it, and then about 25% don't have an opinion one way or the other just because it's new and they haven't really processed it. But some of the sub-issues we asked about, people think that the new bill will result in fewer people getting covered. They think it will result in costs increasing. They think that it'll make it harder for people to get their pre-existing conditions taken care of. So I think basically the point that we're at is that the first Republican health care bill in the spring basically lost Republicans' credibility on the issue. And they can roll out as many more of these health care plans as they want to. But at this point, voters are just sort of tuning them out. They do not trust Republicans on health care. And one thing I think has been fascinating in our polling over the course of this year is how much more popular Obamacare has gotten. It used to be something that we consistently found voters opposed by 10 or 15 points. Now we tend to find that voters support it by 5 or 10 points. And that's a big change in the landscape.
Do you think that will be a defining issue in the 2018 election?
I think it will. I think it's for Democrats, it's their most effective issue because so many of the things that are controversial in the country right now, you just see Democrats reflexively line up behind the Democratic position, Republicans reflexively line up behind the Trump position, and there's no sort of overlap. But health care is a rare issue where there actually is some overlap. There's a lot of people who voted for Trump, a lot of traditional Republican voters who really don't like what's being done on healthcare in Washington. So it's a situation where Democrats might only be able to pick off 5 or 10% of Trump's voters using that issue, but it's more effective than trying to pick them off with something like Russia, that kind of thing. And when you really think about the landscape for 2018, if everybody who voted Democratic last year still votes Democratic, and then Democrats can just pick off 5% of Trump voters, that becomes a big Democratic victory. You really don't have to get that many, especially when you couple that sort of dynamic with the fact that Democrats are more enthusiastic about voting next year than Republicans are, which is a pretty unusual dynamic to have in a midterm.
Yeah, I guess I've seen some national polls that not only people support the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, but overwhelmingly, they want the Republicans to work with Democrats to fix the problems it has.
Absolutely. When we ask the question, would you rather get rid of Obamacare or keep it and sort of make fixes to it as necessary, it's 2-to-1 support for keeping Obamacare and making fixes as necessary. Only about a third of voters think that the best path forward is just to completely do away with Obamacare. So we definitely see that independents want to see Democrats and Republicans work together to keep what we have and make it better. And even about a third of Republicans think that that's the best thing to do.
And finally, before I let you go, there's always talk in the national media of Trump's base and what that means, and it's intimidating in Republican primaries. What do you say to folks when they ask you about Trump's base?
Well, it is still pretty much there. 80% of the people who voted for him are still strongly for him. And when you ask people whether they see him as sort of the leader of the Republican Party or a Paul Ryan or a Mitch McConnell, Trump overwhelmingly comes ahead on that question. So it's creating a very difficult dynamic for some of these Republican senators, for instance, like Jeff Flake in Arizona and Dean Heller in Nevada, who are up next year. They have not been 100% loyal to Trump, so Trump voters hate them, but they also haven't been that mavericky, like they voted for the health care bill. So then everybody who didn't vote for Trump hates them too. And what that puts them in a situation is those guys have a 20% approval rating. 60% of voters disapprove of them because the Trump base hates them and the overall electorate hates them too. And we know that because they're senators and they get polled, but I think there's probably a lot of House members in similar dynamics to that as well. So really what the Trump base is doing is just completely blowing up some of these politicians because they care more about those politicians' loyalty to Trump than they do to necessarily the Republican Party, normal Republican ideals, that kind of thing. And then those politicians aren't winning over anybody who's on the other side of the aisle. So it basically puts them in a big old mess.
Well, thanks for keeping us up to date about the mess. We appreciate all that you do. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
Up next, the increasing rise of suspensions in schools to address student misconduct. Stay with us.